Thank you, worship team. Good morning again, everybody. You know, it doesn't take very long to investigate that you realize that God had some pretty good ideas. And one of them was the family. One of them was marriage. Yesterday, Doug and Melanie were here. We performed their wedding, and it was just a great, great setting. There's an awful lot of things that God came up with that are great ideas until man got a hold of them. Church is one of them. If you can already kind of feel that a little bit of the theme today is all about church. We welcome new members into our church. We had a video about the church, and today we want to talk about the church because it's a place that we are here now. Why are you here? And I understand there's a lot of answers to that. The younger you get, the reason that you're here is because your mom and dad drug you out of bed and said, let's go. You know, and some of you, you wouldn't know what to do if you didn't show up to church on Sunday. That's just the way it is. I'm not saying that you're disconnected from the ultimate reason of worshiping the Lord, but we involve ourselves in church. And church is so much more than just Sunday morning and Sunday evening or Wednesday. It's all kinds of things. But let me just tell you something we got to remember in a hurry, because every time I used the word church previously in this conversation, most of us thought of a place in a pew versus a person. Because we got to remind ourselves that Jesus, as he talked about the church, he was talking about us being the church. You are the body of Christ, the church. So the church can be a structure, obviously, by reference, but it cannot be the church. The church are the people that make it the church. Just like anything else, it doesn't matter if it's an organization, if it's a team, if it's an auxiliary. It's the people that are in it that make it significant, make it work well, make it worthwhile. So that's why we're talking about the church today. If you are familiar with our core values, and if you're not, we have a pamphlet like this in our information stations, and we talk about the church in here, and there is our core value. Matter of fact, it is listed as number 3, not in order of importance, but number 3, it says, we value being a welcoming church. We will create an atmosphere that is inviting and welcoming to all. And we reference Romans, the 15th chapter, verse 7. Therefore, receive one another, just as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. So as we're involved in church, I came up with this theme, the church with open arms. I've got to be honest with you, some of that's driven by where we are culturally and where we are socially right now. I have never seen it as tense out there as it is. And I thought that we had really gone through the tension years and years and years ago. When I was, you know, born in 1956, and about a decade later, it was tense. And it got tense and tense, and then I thought we've kind of resolved a lot of those things, but those tensions are still here. And it doesn't matter if you measure it racially or socially, philosophically, spiritually. There's a lot of disconnect and tension out there. And you know what? I've begun to realize that I'm not an alarmist, but I tell you, it's because Jesus said this is the way it's going to go. God said this is what's going to happen. So we're not alarmed and we're not surprised, although it does cause us to be a little more aware of what's going on. Because you see, it doesn't matter who you are, what you know, in the midst of that, you're caught in the middle of all of this tension and pressure and disconnect and indifference. But God has the Christian in his church right in the midst of his care. So we got to remind ourselves. It's real easy for all of the things going on to take our mind off the fact that God's still, I'll steal an old comment, still on the throne. And prayer changes things. It's not just a cliche, it's the truth. And sometimes we forget that in the church because of things that are going on in the media, things that are going on in our society. So I love this picture, a church with open arms. And I don't know what you see when you think of that term, a church with open arms, but it sure gives me the kind of a picture of a welcoming church, a nice church, a place I can go and really enjoy myself, relax. I don't think that I'll be judged there. Hopefully I'll be welcomed, ultimately loved. They'll embrace me. They'll accept me. We'll have a conversation. This will be a good experience. That's what churches are supposed to be, and I think that's what God's idea of it is as well. But with you and I together as we investigate this and with the help of the Holy Spirit, I believe that we can be that kind of church. Now, let me just tell you what's happening in our society, and I don't have to convince you of this very much, and that is that when they don't know what else to do, and I don't mean they versus us, but I mean when they don't know what to do, they turn to the church. If it gets bad enough, if it gets tense enough, And I would say this with all due respect, but I believe that if we were a suburb of Las Vegas right now, I bet we would have a lot of visitors in our church today because of a current event there. The thing that scares me, since we're not right outside the boundaries of Las Vegas, because we're so far removed, that we're not alarmed. But we need to be. And we need to be reacting to the fact that the church was here as one of God's greatest ideas for the social woes that we're going through, much less the personal spiritual dynamics that everybody faces. And listen, if they are going to warm up the church, no matter how they get there, and if company's coming, we need to clean house, right? No, we need to clean our house. We don't need a clean house. We don't need to get rid of people. No. We just look around and say, you know what? This needs to be tidied up. For years, I love the fact that I'm married to Debbie Mewburn, because when people come over the house, she gets alarmed. She gets a little tense. She starts looking and finding things that I don't even see. And I love that about her. Because, you see, I grew up in Alabama. We didn't care. I'm serious. We didn't call. We just showed up. This is the God-awful truth, and I'm just saying, Father, forgive me for being such an ignorant person. But Bob Anderson and I went to New Orleans. On the way back, we decided to go to Birmingham. We got in there about 10 o'clock at night, and we said, oh, let's go to Susan's house. Susan Daly was a friend of ours. We walked in, literally just walked into the house, went into the kitchen, fixed us a sandwich. The family's downstairs. We walked downstairs. We're coming down the stairs with a sandwich that came from their refrigerator. And we thought it was funny. They acted like it was funny. I don't know. They never said anything. But her dad never talked to me again. You can get that comfortable, but I love it that Debbie, you know, when people are coming over. And that doesn't mean things are more important than people by any means. But you know what? If people are important, then things are as well. Agreed? So that's why we want to look at this. Listen, I want to talk about the church with open arms today. First of all, a church with open arms loves like God. We all have our idea of how we love, but let's look at the way God loves. The most popular verse of Scripture about God loving is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I want to focus on that word gave just for a second. Because when we are embracing our society, our community, Claremore, Verdigris, whatever, when we are trying to embrace these people and love on them, it's real easy to think about what is it going to be for us. But the Bible tells us that we should be giving, that we should give. You know, God says, I love you so much that I'm going to give you my Son. You know, it was a sacrificial comment is what it is there. So the first thing that happens is that we become people that love like God. And the expression of that is that we're giving people. The second thing is we accept like Jesus. I could stay here all day on this picture of this wonderful sight of what Jesus says. Actually, it's Romans, the 15th chapter, what Paul says about Jesus. He says, therefore, accept one another just as Jesus Christ accepted you. We should accept one another, not on the basis of whether I really like you, you fit into my idea of a personal friend, you know, because the truth of the matter is sometimes we feel guilty that we're not just treating everybody the same way. And most of the time, it's not that you don't treat them the same, you don't know them the same. Some of people are closer to you, you spend more time with them. I'm going to say something that sounds absolutely contrary in the church, but it's okay to have cliques if those cliques are constructed appropriately. In other words, you have a group of close friends. We have things in this church called small groups. Should we disband a small group because only these people meet? No, they meet one another's needs. Royce Chapman is in the hospital, and when I talked to Carolyn yesterday, she said every one of our small group has been up to see him. How cool is that? How cool is that? Not everybody in the church has that responsibility or that desire or needs to do that. You're not bad people because you didn't go see Royce. But if you have people that are close to you, accept them the way that Jesus accepted you. And how is that? We love to use this word because it's a great word, unconditionally. He didn't say, you got to do this, you got to get a haircut, you got to dress this way, you got to like the things that I like. No, he said, unconditionally, I'm going to open my arms. And you know what? If we need to work out some things, we'll work that out later. It's amazing. Look at the Scripture. He called Matthew away from the tax collecting business, which was a horrible, dirty, rotten business. And he didn't say, go to the temple, get on your knees, say, I'm sorry, God, repay everything that you ripped everybody off, and then follow me. You know, he said, follow me. I think in the process of following him, God kind of cleaned up the attitude and the actions and the behavior. Don't you believe? I believe that sincerely. And that's what happened right there. The third thing is that a church with open arms receives like a great church. Like a great church. I want to take you to Romans, the 12th chapter. This is a lot of words in a little bit of space, but it's a powerful picture of the church. Paul is writing to the Roman church and he says, listen, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. And if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. That is a mouthful, but it's a great picture of the church. And we're not perfect, are we? We're not perfect, but we want to move there. We want to get there. We don't want to just try it once and say, well, that was a valiant effort. We want to do our best to do better and better and better every time we have this thing happen called church. Inside the setting of a scheduled service and outside the setting of a scheduled service. Because the truth of the matter is, wherever you go this week, the church goes. Do you realize that Claremore Assemblies of God, the reputation we have doesn't depend on what happens in here on Sunday. It depends on where you go, what you do, and what you say all 24/7 of the next week. Now listen, that doesn't mean to be a pressure statement. You know, we're not trying to tell you, you've got to act right or you're going to make me look bad. But the truth of the matter is, act right or you're going to make me look bad. We're all going to do that, okay? And the same thing's on me too, you know. I can't go out there and, you know, cuss a waitress out or whatever and then go, oh, I'm going to come to church, by the way. It just doesn't work that way. You know, we stamp into the people's minds this constant image of what it's like. But that's why they want to go to a church with open arms too. But most people who are going to meet out there that really need to know what a church is, you know, here's the thing. They don't know our rules. They don't know our language. They don't know the songs that we sing. All this other stuff. Bob Rogers, they don't know that that's your seat. You know? I mean, it's crazy. You know? Hey, listen, I got to tell you, because I love telling this story. We had this lady, Agnes Blaylock. That's a powerful name already, isn't it? She was sitting, you know, in this certain place, and she came in one morning, Woodlake Assembly of God, somebody sitting in her seat. She literally stood by the edge of the pew. Finally, this person looked up at her like, what do you want? She goes, you're in my seat. We thought we were going to have to separate them. It was amazing. You know, we get possessive when we get into these routines sometimes. And you know, it's great to have a routine if it's a productive routine. But we need to also be flexible and understand, you know, they don't know exactly what all is going on. But they do recognize when you're rude. They do recognize rejection. They do recognize when they're unwelcome. They do recognize when people don't make them to feel like they fit in. They do recognize when they are judged and sized up. Nobody likes that. And listen, sometimes we don't mean to. But you know, when we see somebody, we don't know them, automatically we tend to just kind of stay in our own little bubble instead of going outside of that bubble and, you know, kind of investigating, seeing, hey, how are you? And it doesn't matter if it's here or the workplace. We tend to do that. You know, I'm glad God wasn't that way because we wouldn't have John 3:16 where he gave us his son, would he? He would just be up in heaven and the angels and they just have a good time and leave us all alone. But the reason this is so important is it confuses those people who have heard that the church is a great place to be. They've heard that great things happen in church, that God does miracles, and it's a great, fabulous place of worship. And they're invited to church, but then they go to church, and if it's not a church with open arms, it's a church with closed arms. And you know, they have a whole different experience. And guess who gets the short end of that thing? God does. God does. So we need to understand a little bit how that goes. So before we do church, we have to be the church. Before we share the good news, we have to be the good news. You know, the truth is there's a lot of people that don't want to go to the hospital. You know, if you've never been in the hospital, whatever, you're not a medical person, you're not a doctor, nurse, or whatever, who really wants to go to the hospital? You know, you only go there because you have to. You're bleeding to death. Whatever. You know? But most people, even if it's to visit a friend, they feel very uncomfortable because, you know, they don't go there very often. That's what people experience who aren't growing up in the church, don't go to the church, and have no idea what's going on. I've discovered another thing that I really hate to do, just kind of like the hospital thing, and that's called the airport. You used to go to the airport, just walk up there, they tell you what to do. Now you have to go to a kiosk, whatever that thing is. Listen, whenever we travel, I go, Debbie, do it. Just get our luggage. But I hate that thing because I feel so out of control. I don't know what to do. I don't know what button to push. I'm going, can we have a human over here, please? And then when you meet the human, it's the TSA. All they want to do is pat your pockets. I'm telling you, there's some funny business going on there, okay? That ain't right. And then you got to do this behind the screen deal. It's just not cool. Well, you get that experience at church one time. You ever going back? I don't think so. So we've decided not to wand anybody because they come into the church. But listen, everybody can be a part of a church with open arms. And let me show you how. First thing you simply do is this. Stop and kneel. Stop and kneel. Listen, this has nothing to do with the NFL. But it has everything to do with G-O-D. Now listen, I know that's a little tricky way to put it, but it has nothing to do with all that. When we're talking about kneeling right now, we're talking about bowing to our knees and saying, God, what is your desire? What is your wish? Guide me, Lord, this day. What do you want me to do? Let me take you to 1 Timothy, the second chapter. He says, I urge then, first of all. Sometimes we read Scripture, we just glide right over some of the most important things. He says, first of all, before you do anything else, before you pass, go and collect $200. First of all, that request, prayers, intercession, thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, those who are that we may live peacefully and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. And the true church, if we are a good church, then you know what? We share that. We want all men to know the Lord Jesus Christ and to enjoy the peace and the truth that we have experienced. That's what a church with open arms does. The second thing is this, because everybody can pray, is we can just say and adopt the attitude of come and see. Just come and see. See what God is doing in our church. See what God is doing in my life. And how do you do that outside of a service? You just let them see your life. You realize you've heard this before. Some of the best Bible that some people ever read is you. Is they'll see your life. The only reason they'll be even inclined to listen to the Lord Jesus Christ is because they see something in you. You may be the only Scripture that they will ever see. So come and see. In John, the first chapter, verse 40 through 42, it tells us about when Peter came to know the Lord or was called by God. You see, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah that is the Christ. You know what he was ready to say? Come and see what we have discovered. And he brought him to Jesus, and Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John, but you're going to be called Cephas, which is translated Peter. The cool thing about you and I is regardless of what we were called formally or informally, when we met Christ, our name changed. Who we were by description changed. Who we were going to be by description changed. God altered our life. And there's a lot of people out there that they want that too. And you know what? All they need to do is just to see it. I've often said this before, and this may sound like a really immature way of saying it, but I've felt it for years that if I could just take what I feel in my heart for the Lord Jesus Christ and just put it in someone else's heart, if it was an interchangeable component and just put it in their heart for 5 seconds, if they could feel the peace, if they could feel the joy, if they could have the memories of the things that have happened, if they could have the moments I've had in these altars, all of these things, just 5 seconds worth, I'm convinced they would give their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what it means to come and see. Because once you see it, you believe it. When you don't know enough to just trust it, you have to see it first. So let's give them that picture. 90%, I found a survey, 97% of the people who came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, they did it through an existing relationship or maybe through a family member, a co-worker, a co-student. Yeah, it was something like that versus just hearing it on the radio out of the blue and deciding to give their heart to Christ. 75% of the people who were invited to church attended. 3/4 of the people you will invite will attend. But if we never ask them, we've already decided that their answer to an invitation is no. What's the percentage of the people that you never invite that are going to come to church? Absolutely zero. So that's church with open arms. So I wanted to tell you the third thing is that we just go and tell. Go and tell. This is the part that scares some people when it's about literally opening your mouth. But can I just change a picture in that respect? Because we think of this vocal, you know, presentation. We think of how I have to have the words just right. Listen, instead of go and tell, how about just go and share? Go and just show. You know, this isn't about exactly what you say. It's about the life that you've lived. Your greatest witness isn't the words that come out of your mouth. It's the things that have come out of your life. So we have to realize that. 2 Timothy 4:5 says this, "But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist." We may think that that's someone we invite to come and occupy this pulpit, but we're all evangelists. He says, discharge all the duties of your ministry. He doesn't say their ministry, it's your ministry. You see, when we embrace who we are with Christ, we embrace who we are through Christ as well. And that's where we get to just go and tell. So it all starts with prayer. We stop. We say, God, what do you want us to do? We're praying for specific needs, specific people. We're praying for God's leadership, for guidance. Lord, tell me what you want me to do. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with just waiting on what God has to say to you. You know, you're not being idle if you're not doing anything, because the thing is that once God tells you, then do it. But you know, sometimes it takes a little while for Him to put a burden on your heart and you know exactly what to do. But we're praying to God. You know why? Because last time I checked, He's the God of the impossible. There are people out there that you think they're so indifferent, they would never love God, they would never come to church, they don't care. Can I just tell you, the common circumstances in our culture is making a lot of people look a lot of places for the things that they can't find in this current culture anymore. So they're looking. They're looking for a church with open arms. They're looking for people with open arms. Then we develop a come and see mentality. We invite them, include them, we bring them, and then we go and tell, and it's a wonderful thing. And the last time I looked, the majority of people who needed to really, really know the Lord and Him to touch their life, they weren't in church. They weren't here. They were across the street. They were a little walk down the neighborhood. They were in another class. They were down the hallway, on and on and on. So, you know, they need to know that this church isn't a place that they have to leave their place and go to, but it's coming to them. That's another common misconception that we have to have about a church with open arms, because, you know, this picture is, I'm here, come to me, right? Really and truly, that's what this feels and looks like. I mean, I used to love it when I'd see my mom when I was little and she would do this. I'd go running. But what the church needs to be is we need to be running with our arms wide open, going to them instead of waiting for them. God never said, hold back, they'll come to you. Jesus did say, come unto me. He didn't tell us to wait and let them come to you. He said, go and tell. Sometimes we just have it all backwards. And it's not because we're indifferent. It's not because we're resistant. We just don't have the right picture. It's about us leaving here and going there, because God knows how to use you. And He knows how to use what you've got. You are not going to believe this, but write it down. You have exactly what you need to be the person that God needs you to be in the body of Christ. Quit waiting for some supernatural anointing to change you into something that you're not. You're already everything that God needs you to be. You may not be loud, but that's okay. God's going to use you in the context in which you are. You may be loud, but that doesn't mean that God's going to use you in that circumstance with everybody. You are exactly what God needs you to be right where you are. You'll just let Him use you. Let me just point something out in Mark, the 4th chapter, that a lot of us, I'll be honest with you, we just never look at. We never see. We never associate it with the church. In Mark, the 4th chapter, verses 26 through 29, it says, this is what the kingdom of God is like. Now, this is Jesus talking. He's describing the kingdom of God, so I think He knows a little bit about it. He said, a man scatters seed on the ground night and day. Whether he sleeps or whether he gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though it does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First there's the stalk, and then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. So what did this guy do? All he did was spread seed. Listen, I'm just as bad as any other pastor. We just want to make the church grow. We want to make it better. We want to make everybody love each other. We want to make the songs great. And we get in there and we try to do this and we try to do that. And we start putting our hands on God's stuff. And God says, you know what? You just leave it alone. He said, you know what? This thing will grow all on itself if you'll just be the person I asked you to be. See, isn't it cool? God doesn't, you don't have to be something that you're not. God says, this harvest is going to grow. I'll take care of all that. All I need you to do is what? One thing, to scatter the seed. And you know what? If you've planted anything, you scatter a lot of seed. Sometimes it grows. Some of it doesn't. This isn't about how much you really get to grow. This is about you just sowing the seed, if you will. That's your one and only most important responsibility in being a church with open arms. It's just spreading seed. Let me take you to Matthew, the 9th chapter. Jesus went through all the towns and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, healing every disease and sickness. And when he saw the crowds, this is the crowd that we're supposed to spread seed to. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Does that look like any place you know? I think it sounds an awful lot like Claremore, quite honestly. I think it sounds a lot like Tulsa. I live technically in Collinsville, but I'm in Owosso a lot. It sounds a lot like Verdigris up here in Chelsea and Foyle. It looks like Oklahoma. It looks like the world. There's these people out there, and they're harassed, and they're hopeless, and they're helpless, and they don't have a shepherd guiding them anywhere, and they're doing the best that they can to just hold their little life together. And they don't know what, and they're frustrated, and they're hurt, and they're scared, and everywhere they go, they just find more and more opposition and turmoil and trouble, and it's daunting on them. But then, this is what he says next. He says, then he said to the disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Isn't it amazing that right after Jesus says, helpless, harassed, literally have no guidance, no shepherd, he immediately equates this crowd with the harvest. I want to make maybe a questionable statement. There's a lot of people out there that don't need Jesus. You know why? Because they have all the money that they need. They have a girlfriend, a wife, boyfriend, a husband. They have activities. They got whatever they need. Their body is healthy. They got plenty of money. They live in a nice house, drive a nice car. They don't need Jesus. Now, I'm not saying they don't need Jesus, but I'm saying when it comes to them, they don't need Jesus. So you know what? What God is saying, listen, we need to look at a harvest. And that harvest is not about all of those people, because he's not rejecting them, but at the same time, they're not going to listen. But there are a lot of people out there that they are just searching. They are deeply disturbed that 58 people were wiped out by a madman in Las Vegas. They're deeply disturbed that we have a problem in our nation recognizing the American flag. They have a deep problem that there's incredible indifference between the political parties that pretty much rule our nation. They have a big, big problem that overseas has been covered over by current events, but there's a whole lot of turmoil and still things going out bad out there. They have a lot of problems that we've had 4 hurricanes in 6 weeks. They have a lot of problems that we have earthquakes in Oklahoma all the time. They have a lot of problems. There's still racial tension so thick you could cut it with a knife out there. Those are the people that are the harvest. Those are the people that are the harvest. And you know what? They're just waiting for a church with open arms to just show up and say, listen, I may not have all the answers, but I know the one who does. And that's our role as a church. I take great comfort in that. I got to tell you, I don't think I could go to school long enough. I don't think I could practice it hard enough to make the presentation that would tell everybody exactly what they need to know to give their heart to the Lord. I don't know that I'm wise enough to win the academic conversation in the debate as to take the atheists and bring them over to someone who truly believes. I don't have all of that. But hopefully what I have is these. A couple open arms. The attitude of Christ. The guidance of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But this is what he talks about the church today. Harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest. Does that sound like the church of today? I think so. You see, we've become a church that's literally long on the harvest and short on the laborers. Long on the harvest and short on the laborers. Now listen, if that creates tension, if that creates pressure on you, you need to just take that and throw it aside real quick. Because right now what we need to do is go back and just start with the stop and kneel thing and say, God, what? I'm aware. I understand. There's like, what do you want me to do? Now, preachers can put you under condemnation. We can tell you, go out there, witness to five people this week and bring me a report. We can create stuff like that, but what good does it do? If it's not led by the Lord Jesus Christ, then we're just doing stuff with human effort. And we've seen what human effort can do. It can do literally about nothing. But we can also see what God can do in a split second under the power of His Holy Spirit when He comes to break the bondage of all these things that are going on. When He begins to remind us that this thing is all about to wrap up and I have you right in the palm of my hands. You are not put in a place of danger. Instead, I've got you in a place of safety. I'm going to take care of you, but there's others. There are others. There are others. And I need you to be part of a church with open arms. So I suggest that we flood the harvest with workers. That we flood the harvest with workers. And that we literally leap over the condemnation that Satan wants to tell us that we have not done a good job, that we don't care. And if that's the truth, then we need to pray about it, but we need to leap right over that and say, God, send me into the harvest. Send me into the harvest. And then with that, I believe God will literally take care of us. But I'm going to tell you, when the workers don't show up, only a small portion of the harvest is collected. And guess what happens to the rest of it? It rots. It rots. We all know that. It's a perfect picture. We see that. So I have one challenge for you. What is God saying to your heart? Because the truth of the matter is, if you and I were sharing lunch and we were having this conversation, I guarantee you there would be a part of you that would say, Pastor, I agree with you wholeheartedly. But what am I supposed to do? How can we do this? This isn't a pressure moment. This is a moment of opportunity for us to open ourselves to the Lord and say, God, what do you have for me? Maybe you're in here today and you're hearing all these wonderful things about the church and being a church with open arms, and you're going, so where is that church? Where is that church? Well, I got to tell you, you're not going to find it with a push pin on the map. You're going to find it when you listen to your heart, because Jesus is the head of that church. And if today you've never found that church, and even today in this church, you're struggling to see if this is the church that might give you that attitude. Just remind yourself, the church is about people. And God is about people too. God cares a whole lot more about you as an individual than He ever does that this church is successful and has 400, 500, 5,000 members. He cares more about your individual soul than He does those numbers. You find that hard to believe? I don't. Today, He cares about you. That's where it starts. But it also starts with you caring about others. Will you bow your heads with me? Father, I pray in the next few moments that you will mobilize us. Literally, Lord, that you will mobilize us. You see, Father, there are times when something needs to happen. When Simon heard the story from his brother Andrew, he left the nets and went and followed Jesus. When Jesus met Matthew and he said, follow me, Matthew left his entire business and followed Jesus. And today, Father, we need to leave whatever's holding us back from being the person you want us to be to follow you. Today, Lord, if there's anyone here in this congregation that does not know you, they're looking for this church. But before they join a church like some of these members, before they say, hey, I want to come and attend every Sunday, they want to be a part of the body of Christ because they know you. That's the first step in that. I pray, God, that you'll grant them that today. If that's you, would you honor God, honor yourself, and honor me and by just raising your hand and putting it right back down? Pastor Dave, I need that relationship. I need to renew that relationship. Praise the Lord. There's a couple, another, anybody else. Pastor Dave, before I do anything else, I want to give my heart to Jesus. I want to know Jesus. You know, whether it's driven by the common culture, whether it's just right now, you can feel the Holy Spirit inviting you because His arms are open out right now. And He can do a lot more than I'll ever be able to do. He'll do a lot more than this church, Claremore Assembly of God, will ever be. And in a matter of seconds, He is going to do something powerful for you. Is there anyone else? Anyone else? As a congregation, will you join me in this prayer? We do this often. I'd like to lead this prayer. And if you raise your hand, will you say that confidently and from your heart? And allow the Lord to hear your heart expressed today. These are my words, but let it be your heart. Say this. Say, "Dear Lord Jesus, with all of my heart, I want to come home. I never left. I never knew I left. But today, there is a strong desire to come into your open arms. I ask you right now to forgive me, to accept me, to receive me, and let me come home. I give you my heart. I give you my life. And I thank you that you promised if I would commit myself to you, if I would confess my sins, that you would forgive me, receive me, accept me, and love me. And I thank you for this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen." Amen. I'm going to ask you to do me a favor as a congregation in just a second. I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to sing one song and be dismissed. But I'm going to ask as many of you that will, that you'll leave your pew, that you will just, as a step of symbolically going out there, as the church is not sitting back waiting, but a church that is moving forward with open arms, that you will move from where you are to this place, and that you will just pray that prayer. "Father, what do you say to my heart? What are you saying to my heart? Give me guidance and direction today." Maybe what He's going to do is confirm the fact that He is calling you. Maybe today He's going to show you that picture of scattering the seed. Maybe today He's going to make you aware. You've seen Him a lot, but today, finally, the antenna really receives that message that you see people in your school and in your neighborhood and where you work, and you see them. They're the helpless. They're the harassed. They're the people that have no shepherd, and today God is sending you to them. Through your life and through your lips, may you touch them. I think I would like to ask you to give you that opportunity to do that in the name of the Lord Jesus. Before we're dismissed, take a few minutes and do that to the Lord. Amen.